Today's June 15th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $66,175.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
So, Rick, I've got to report this now, and it seems like the launch is delayed. We had to cancel the rockets.
Well, we just called the, the shuttle back from the platform.
Yep. Yeah.
Rain delay
due to weather.
No. Depending on who you're asking right now, especially on YouTube where it's all clickbaity titles, it's like the sky is falling. The blood candle or some stupid thing like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating because we know we're close to that breaking point. I think, you know, leading up when we had done that last episode, I put up a chart on the Discord where it showed basically the new mined Bitcoin was 2,250 during that week. And then at the same time, the amount of Bitcoin that was purchased by the ETFs was 25,700. Like, that far exceeds the supply, that demand that got purchased up. So,
well, a previous episode was called 28 times because in that one day, they basically purchased 28 times the supply that was generated that day. I mean, and over this week, that's 12 times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, and we were looking before we kind of got going today, we were looking at the flow charts on Farsight. I mean, this thing has been awesome to kind of see what some of that movement was, but this is a bleeding week, right? We saw a lot of selling.
Yes.
The only one that looks like it was consistently buying was BlackRock.
Right. Well, and the only positive day this week was the 12th.
Yeah.
So.
And it was outstripped by what you know, kind of just glancing at that by every day. Possible.
Every other day, basically.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, it looks like Grayscale again has continued to kind of slow. I mean, by no means, it's not as good as what it had been. Because, I mean, when you look at this chart going into June, Grayscale actually was looking fairly bullish, I would say, almost in a sense, with their inflows. But then the trend started up again. But it's not as major outflows as what they had done in the past, because even these outflow days, I don't think they're as big as some of the major sell days that Grayscale has done in a single day. So,
yeah, for sure. And, you know, they actually have some positive days in a row, which is kind of new territory for them.
Yeah, we hadn't seen that much black from them during this whole time, and basically since the launch of the ETF. How are theoretical purchases looking right now?
Okay, so theoretical purchase, $3,000 back in last October, and $3,000 0.0885 Bitcoin, and the last episode we were up above 6,000. This episode not so much. Still 58, 56. Can't complain about that.
Yeah,
almost doubled, but definitely have taken a hit. And then we did the other theoretical buy right at the halving, so $1,000 at 63,000, almost 64,000. You get 0.015564, and right now we're sitting at basically $1,035. So a positive sign of $35.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you were kind of talking about that before we got recording, was that, I mean, really looking at the purchase from October, I don't know if there was anything else you could have bought that would have doubled your money in that time, right? Like, that's something you were bringing up.
Yeah, no. And that's kind of when Bitcoin started to do its launch. I mean, it was right at 30,000, and it just looked like the word was that the ETFs were going to be approved for Bitcoin. And so that really put the wind into the sails. And if you could have timed it any time at October or before last year, yeah, I mean, there's no other investment that even comes close to doubling your money in that time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. It's been kind of a, I don't know, I guess the sentiment, like I really felt like when we recorded last time, I really felt like that sentiment was there. And like, it was like, man, we're about to break over. There was a lot of positive sentiment and going into, you know, I guess even going into this week, but part of me should have known better. Like normally CPI weeks anyways, things tend to kind of calm down because they want to see what the Fed's going to say. And so we know that was kind of lingering. So we did get a CPI report, and it came in at basically 3.3 was the reporting for
what was expected.
I think it was expected to be 3.4. So it came in a little bit under. Basically, it was a 0.3% increase from April. The index for shelter rose in May up 0.4% for the fourth consecutive month. So, I mean, that's continuing to rise, like housing. Food increased 0.1% in May. Energy fell 2%, which, I don't know, I'm not seeing that reflected in the pumps. But, I mean, that's a pretty major drop, led by a 3.6% decrease in the gasoline index, which I'm still not seeing that at the pumps.
Yeah, gas has been kind of wonky lately. But oil prices of oil have gone down a little bit from what I've noticed, so I don't know what's happening.
Let me look and see here, because I've got the oil charts up. Oil is at $78.44 a barrel, it looks like right now. So gold is at $2,332, and then silver is at $29.54. I'm trying to see if anything is looking good right now. The DXY, so the dollar right now is up 0.26%. And then everything else kind of looks like, it's flat for the most part.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting that the dollar is still up, especially after the news about Saudi Arabia this week.
Yeah. So go ahead, like, talk about that a little bit. You kind of wrote something about that in the newsletter, right?
Yeah, I wrote about it in the newsletter. Basically, the dollar has been tied to oil since 1971 when Nixon, or is it 72? Somewhere in there, Nixon took us off the gold standard. I mean, we weren't really on the gold standard. That's a whole other story. But long story short, he decoupled the dollar from gold, so dollars were not redeemable by other countries for gold.
Yeah.
And he made a deal with Saudi Arabia. It's like, hey, you're only going to buy or allow the sale of oil for gold or for dollars. And that's kind of what's happened ever since. And, you know, so there was something kind of backing the dollar with oil. But Saudi Arabia's relationship with the United States is not doing so hot over the past few years. And sometime they announced that they were going to start selling their oil potentially in other currencies, and then this week they made it official that they're not going to exclusively sell their oil in dollars.
Right. So, yeah, and that was, I mean, that was a pretty big thing. It looks like that was originally signed on June 8th, 1974. And it was...
74, okay.
When it was led, it looks like it was Kissinger that was kind of really a big player behind that, which is not shocking. Like, if you look at the social political sphere from that time period, and basically kind of Kissinger, really, like when you look at that, there's a lot of, and I'm not going to go down the conspiracy road on that, but there's a lot of stuff that he kind of put in place that we've kind of sat on for a long time.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you're just looking at it from a political strategy standpoint, that was a masterstroke. That was brilliant. It lasted 50 years, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where if anybody in the world wanted to do anything with oil, they had to buy dollars to do it. Now, I mean, especially because Saudi Arabia's alliance kind of leaning more towards the BRICS nations, it makes sense. I mean, what that means too is that they're not going to stop taking dollars for oil. They're just not going to make it to where everybody has to use dollars to buy the oil.
Which means that it's not like the death of the dollar is happening today or tomorrow or anytime in the near future.
Yeah.
But during the collapse, or when history looks back at the U.S. empire, and that's what we are, but they look at the collapse of the U.S. empire, they're going to point to this as an important date.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll probably be able to really kind of narrow that down, right?
Yep.
As this is when things started to... Well, I mean, there were other things beforehand, but this is a pretty major blow.
Well, it's kind of like... who is it? Hemingway said that, how do you go bankrupt? He's like gradually and then suddenly at the end. And it's kind of going to be the case with America. It's like just a gradual process, then it's going to just seem like it's going to happen overnight.
Yeah, what is it? He was pretty famous for... No, it wasn't him that said that, but... you know, how does it go out? It doesn't go out. You know, how does the universe end? The world end? It doesn't end with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a slow decline. I think you're right on that sense. Like, I don't think it's going to be something that's going to happen overnight. And it's not like, you know, I still go back to even with the BRICS nations, like, I can't trust China. And I don't think any of the rest of the world does necessarily either. It's just that there's going to be a slow erosion of basically that dollar backing everything. I mean, you still have a lot of the democratic or Western facing countries that will use the dollar and probably continue to use the dollar. They have too much invested in it right now to not. But yeah, that's probably going to slowly erode.
Interesting times. And yeah, that's also something I mentioned with China in BRICS. I mean, they're trying to come up with a gold-backed currency, but do you really trust China's accounting?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should.
No.
I mean, you can't even audit any Chinese companies. I mean, it's basically Bernie Madoff on a huge state level, you know, not just a state level, like one of the biggest countries with the most populous nations on the planet. So it's... when that unfolds, it's going to be pretty, pretty crazy, I think, as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I mean, so what do you think is the outlook right now for Bitcoin with the markets the way that it is? I mean, everything's still kind of feeling unstable. We've been talking about CPI for a long time. It's still not getting totally under control. I mean, they feel like it was a little bit better than what they thought it was going to be for April or for May. I apologize, but. You know, where do you think we're looking in the future? Like, what do you think we're looking at with this?
Generally speaking, always up in the distant future. Tomorrow, it's going to be sideways for a while. I don't know what the catalyst is going to be to maybe get it going on the next leg, but if cycle repeats as it has in the past, it's going to take off like a rocket ship. Now, the one thing that I will say is that all of us, you know, all the people who are in Bitcoin are expecting something to happen. And the more, like, a group of people expect something to happen, that's, you know, especially in the markets, it doesn't pan out like everyone expects. It's almost like you're cursing yourself by everyone just watching it. So.
Yeah, I mean, the contrarian view usually serves you very well in investments, right?
Yeah, if you're following 90% of the herd, you're going off the cliff with them.
Right. Yeah. And so it's one of those things, like, will we see a drop in Bitcoin's price where... One of the things that I thought was so funny, looking at, you know, the action last week when we're really looking like we were about to just smash through, is that $72,000 resistance. And we did talk about it for a moment on the podcast, like we were saying, there was a lot of speculation saying that 72,000 was going to be kind of the kickoff point. If it could get above that, that was going to be when it would kind of boost those, light those igniters on the boosters, right? And every time we would come up and kiss that, there was a major sell-off that was taking place. So it becomes one of those questions, and I think, I'm sure we've mentioned that on the podcast before, because I know we've talked about it in other areas, but when the rich are playing games like this, and they're trying to buy up as much of the supply as possible, they're the only ones that really have the ability to pull the boat back. They can call back the ship.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, and I...
Go ahead.
I do think that's what's happening, and if the rich are buying it Bitcoin, which I'm assuming they are, but you know, if the price goes down further, if you have any dry powder left, I think that's a good time to potentially get in.
Yeah, potentially deploy. I mean, because at some point, like, they can't hold back the ship forever. It's just like that ball, and I always use the analogy of a ball underwater. Like, you can't keep it down forever. Eventually, it's going to have to come up. You know, and when that does, I think there's a major shift that's taking place with Bitcoin. It's no longer as risky as it once was. Like, this is starting to be really viewed as a real asset for most investors, whereas before, people really didn't pay a lot of attention to it. Mm-hmm. I go back like 10 years ago and just think of the risk back then of buying Bitcoin as opposed to now. And when you have presidents talking about Bitcoin,
or presidential candidates, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Biden, not so much. I guess I haven't heard him utter the words Bitcoin nearly as much. I think he's kind of talked about the crypto industry as a whole, but I don't know necessarily directly about Bitcoin. But, you know, Trump is very much, seems like he's embraced it. Whether that's just for political points, you know, trying to get some brownie points with certain people, that's a possibility. I still...
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, I don't know, don't take this with a grain of salt, but is that his sons are actually gotten kind of behind Bitcoin and they have his ear.
Oh, really?
So, grain of salt, that's just word on the street.
It's interesting.
Because he said a lot of bad things about Bitcoin when he was president as well, so.
Oh, yeah. No, he totally did. He wanted the dollar and only the dollar.
Right.
But now he's talking about how Bitcoin's going to be... You know, he wants all the Bitcoin to be in America. America.
Made in America.
Made in America. We're going to determine the future of the world with Bitcoin. I don't know. And I mean, it's, I don't know where we're going to find support right now currently with this line. It's kind of, you know, we're on that downward trend, but who knows what the market's going to do this next week. We may start to see a little bit of a rebound. And I mean, really, it's been such sideways action. We have been stuck in this trend. And we are entering the period where you would expect Bitcoin to start to extend itself up.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. What it looks like over the past over 3 months now, I mean, the high came in March 14th, roughly.
Yeah.
And today's June 15th. In that time, you know, it's just been basically kind of range bound, but it looks like pressure is building.
Yeah.
Granted, when it explodes, it could technically, I mean, it's, I don't think it's going to go down, but it could. That's not out of the range of possibility as well. I mean, there could be a collapse, but something is cooking. There's pressure building. There's going to be a move eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think most people were expecting it to be to the positive, and I really thought it was going to happen last week when, you know, when we look at those numbers. But every time, somebody was selling at that 72,000 mark and they were just pushing that down. And whoever it is, they must have quite a bit of Bitcoin to be able to suppress the price as much as they did. And, you know, you talked about this at 1.2 in the podcast, is that now we're playing with sharks, right?
Yes. We're swimming with sharks. It's a whole different environment now.
Mm-hmm. And they will play both sides of it. They will put shorts on the futures. They will put shorts on the real market. They will suppress the price and it goes back to they're just accumulating. All they're doing is filling up their bags, you know, and accumulating as much as they can at the price that they want before, you know, they'll be like, okay, we've got enough. We've glutted our appetite. Let it go.
Release the hounds.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, part of it could be like, we still, even though the Ethereum ETF was approved, we saw it hasn't launched yet, right? Like, and it wasn't the same for Bitcoin. Like, it got the approval, and then the next day it launched.
Yeah.
And ETH, we still have it. We don't have a definitive date as to when that's going to launch yet.
The earliest I saw from Gensler this week was he doesn't expect it to go live until September. So
okay, and that could coincide with a rate cut at the same time.
It could.
We may have a dark summer in terms of the crypto market. It may not be until September that we see something like that kick off. Because what we've talked about before, too, is what's the catalyst going to be?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, and the world is getting so crazy right now. Russia going to Cuba, whatever else happening, the de-dollarization. There's just a lot happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in what, Russia declared the United States an enemy for the first time, like publicly?
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. It's pretty crazy. And then with the race for AI, you know, and there's a lot of people with the AI figures that are saying right now that AI is going to prefer something like cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin because it doesn't need a bank to transact. And AI won't be able to have a bank in that sense, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. It's a crazy time in general, like all the way around. All the way around.
All the way around.
Yeah, and, you know, the financial system, we'll still have to continue to see. Like, Jerome Powell's still saying that the banks are strong.
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and that's going to be one of the big things, too, is, like, if liquidity started pumping again, that rate cut, not that Bitcoin, obviously, Bitcoin didn't need a rate cut to get back up to where it was previously, because it got pumped pretty high back up without having, you know, the pools of liquidity that we had from the COVID-19 crisis, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. All I can say is banks are not strong, and we've talked about it before, but the commercial real estate, that is just a ticking time bomb. Whenever that goes off, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up on this episode?
I think that's it for me.
Okay, well, if you're still out there and you're still stacking stats, good job for you. Continue to do so. We do both agree that I think zero is the wrong number to be at for this. But at the same time, it's not financial advice.
No. But if you do have some Bitcoin, we also recommend that you have some type of wallet. You can get those from our website, the BitByte Podcast, on the deals page.
Yep. And then you can also sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely.
And that'll get you your checklist.
The checklist and some information, just my take on what I'm seeing in the markets and in just politics in the world.
So, yeah. Thank you all for listening, and keep your heads up. Don't be negative about this. This is just part of the market. I mean, Bitcoin's never easy. I know as many people think, they always hear the glorification of, oh man, like this person made X and X amount of money, like just so quickly. It's like, well, patience is part of the Bitcoin price.
Right.
So thank y'all for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.